Can everybody get a new simon, simon mem, the laws of Netilas Yodayim? The laws of Netilas Yodayim are very complex. They're very long, very complex. Let's begin. The person wants to eat bread. The only time you're required to wash is when you want to eat. If you work in a bakery and you touch bread the whole day, you're not mechuyev to wash. I mean, you're mechuyev to clean your hands. If you don't have clean hands, no one's going to want. People find out that you don't wash your hands when you come to the Beis Akisa. They're not going to. They're going to shut you down. The government's going to shut you down. People are not going to want to go buy bread. But al pi halacha, there is no obligation to wash your hands when you touch bread the entire day with a kli and with a bracha. The only time you mechuyev to wash your hands with a utensil, with a shir mayim and a special type of utensil, and all the laws that we're going to learn is only when you want to actually eat bread. Then you must wash your hands. As a hagdama, let me mention there are three reasons why we need to wash our hands before we eat. Number one, it is an extension of the laws of truma, of what the requirements that a kohen must do for truma. Kohanim, Chazal Rumi Sasakin, that stam yodais are shnios. Stam hands have the status of a sheni. Truma can become a shlishi. So if you touch your hands that are shnios, touch bread, the truma becomes a shlishi, and that means the truma is tameya, and the truma can no longer be, it has to be burnt, for that matter. So therefore, kohanim al pi halacha are mechuyev to wash their hands before they touch truma. Not even eat truma, before they touch truma. Problem is, kohanim forget. They would not necessarily be very meticulous in being careful to wash their hands before they touch truma. In order to be mechazek the kohanim, that they must be careful to wash their hands before they touch truma, Chazal Masakin, the entire Klal Yisrael must wash their hands before they touch, before they eat. Not before they touch, but they must wash their hands before they eat bread. That's one reason why we are required to wash our hands. Another reason, I forgot the second reason, we'll come back to me in a moment. Another reason why we wash our hands is because Bezman Hazeh, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The shulchan of a person's table, a person's dining room table, your kitchen table, is the mizbeach. It serves as a mizbeach. It's a karban. When you eat l'shem shemayim, it's as if you're offering a karban. And when you eat, you're filling the role of a kohen. And just like a kohen is mechuyev to wash his hands and feet from the kiyar before he does avoda, if he fails to wash his hands and feet from the kiyar before he does avoda, he's chayev misa b'nei shemayim. So bezman hazeh, Chazal Rumi Sasakin, you have to wash your feet, but you have to be like a kohen, you have to wash your hands before you eat on your shulchan. Now, there's another reason which I'll come to in a few moments, hope I'll come back to you. But right now, there are many conditions that are required in order for you to be required to wash before you eat. Number one, how much bread are you planning to eat? According to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you only mechuyev to wash with a bracha if you're planning to eat at least the size of a beitza. Now, what is a beitza? A beitza is equal to 2 eggs. What is an egg? What is the shear of an egg bezman hazeh, solid? According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's 1 ounce. That means, what is an ounce? An ounce is a shot. A shot of those glass cups, those little schnapps cups, the small schnapps cups, is approximately equal to 1 ounce. The amount of bread that you can stuff in to a schnapps cup is equivalent to a kezayis. Therefore, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the only time you are mechuyev to wash and make a bracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'mitzvanu al netilas yadayim, is if you're planning on eating 2 schnapps cups of bread, 2 ounces of bread. The amount that you can fit into two ounces of bread, that's when you're chuyiv to make a bracha of hamotzi lecha minarts. Now the question is why? Why does it have to do with the beit? So the answer is very simple. Since the reason why we wash our hands is srach tuma, is because if a kohen were to touch truma, the truma would become tamei. Meikar hadin, food only becomes tamei. Now I shouldn't say only becomes tamei, but only transmits tuma. The rules of tuma only apply a food that is the size of a beitza. When it comes to eating, the size of the kezayis, in order for a person to be chayv malkos for eating food that is forbidden, for eating basa b'chola, for eating nevela, in order to be chayv malkos, you have to eat the size of a kezayit, the size of an aleph, which halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But in order for a food to have the ability to convey tumah, to transmit tumah, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, it must be the size of a beitza, of an egg, which is approximately 2 kezayim. So it's a very confusing halacha, because here we're telling you that you have to make it, here you're coming to eat. So as soon as you say the word eat, right away a person in his mind thinks, oh, we're dealing with eating? Eating, the shear is a kezayis. And now you're telling me, the only time I'm mechuyev to make a bracha of hamotzi lecha of asher kedoshanu b'mitzvah kedoshanu al atilat yadayim, is if the food that I'm going to eat is the size of a beitza. But wait a minute, I'm not eating a beitza, I'm eating. Eating is always a kezayis. Beitza is only when we deal with the laws of tumah. There's another rule of a keseves hagasa, a date that is for Yom Kippurim. That's the amount that you that have satisfaction. Yom Kippurim. That's satisfaction. That's a separate issue. But here we're dealing with eating. Eating should be a kezayis. No, that's not the issue. It's not the issue of eating. It's the issue of tumah. And since the laws of tumah are only said at when you have the size of an egg, and that's the primary reason why we wash our hands in order that we should not contaminate the food. Our hands are contaminated, and when we touch the food, we are going to contaminate the food, and we want to practice to get into the habit of eating food in the state of Tahara, especially in order to impress upon the Kohanim that they should get in the habit of eating food b'tahara, so that when they will eat Truma, they should eat b'tahara, and the rules of Tumah b'tahara apply only when the food is the size of a beitza. That's why the rules of Netilas Yadayim apply to the shear of a beitza. This what it's...
Bread has to be today, or
yes.
Suda has to.
Okay, so that's a very tough question. Do we combine with the bread other foods? So this is a machlokes apoiskim. It's a very big problem. Halacha l'maaseh we're very makel. If you're going to make hamotzi lechem in aretz and you're going to eat a half of an aleph of bread, a teeny, like people go to people's house, they wash hamotzi, they eat a teeny amount of bread, and then they have a whole lavish meal, and then they come to bench. How much bread did you actually eat? A teeny amount. Can you recite birchas hamazon? Halacha l'maaseh, yes. You can recite birchas hamazon as long as you've eaten in the course of the meal a kezayis, even though the amount of bread you've eaten is less than a kezayis. There are opinions that are machmir that you should eat at least a kezayis of bread, which is very easy. It's only the size of 1 ounce.
But when you eat pizza, you kaveh asud on pizza. You have to bench, right?
When you kaveh asud, so you have to wash? Yes, you must wash.
You have to wash.
Okay, that's another issue which we're getting to. There are many details. It depends on the hamotzi. It does not depend on the type of bread. Let's get about pizza. Pizza's not because pizza really is a bread. Let's talk about eating pretzels, eating a Danish. If you make your kaveh asud on a lunch, for lunch, I'm going to eat a Danish. I'm going to go to the store and buy a chocolate Danish. I'm going to go to the vending machine and I'm going to buy a Reisman's Danish. And that's going to be my lunch. You have a very big problem if you have to wash. Poiskim say one Danish is not enough. Because that's even though you covet your lunch, it's not significant enough. It's
one slice of pizza and a Danish.
Once, that will be enough already. Two Danishes, but it's the book in I think, Bodner, by Bodner, if I'm not mistaken, he says you have to have two large Danishes.
And you have to wash and make a bracha.
Then you have to wash. Now that's the chishdiyuchish, it's a mizonos, and it's not pas. It's called pas ababe kisnin, pas. So the answer is, this is the law. You bring up a very important point, which is not really mentioned in the kids, but it's mentioned in some of the swami that I saw, I used to prepare from, is that this is a very critical point. Just pay attention to this point. The requirement to make netilas yodayim depends on the bracha hamotzi lechem min haaretz. If you are going to say hamotzi lechem min haaretz, then you mechuyev to wash and recite al netilas yodayim. As long, yeah.
Theoretically, if you said you have to have two kezayis to make a wash and make a mozi, right?
Yes.
And you only need one kezayis to bench, correct? That means you could theoretically eat and not wash if you.
Oh, so
you have to bench on that same food?
Theoretically, you can wash and not make a bracha al netilas yadayim and bench. The answer to your question is if, let's say, you're only planning on eating less than one kezayis. According to the Kitzer, you wash, you always mechuyev to wash if you're planning on eating bread and making the bracha. Making not eating bread. The issue is not the making. Making the bracha motzi lechem. The question is, do you make a bracha on the netilas yodayim? So the Kitzer says you only make the bracha if you're going to eat in total in the meal two beitza, which is two zaysim. Now he would have a question, but let's say you're not eating bread. You're eating other foods. I'm going to eat less than a kazayis of bread, but I'm going to eat other foods, and the total amount of food that I will eat will be a beitza, two zaysim. So machlokes apoiskim. Some say you do make a bracha, some say you do not make a bracha. Do you have to actually eat bread the size of a kezayis to make the bracha of al netilas yadayim? It appears the olam is very makel, because when you come to a suda, Shabbos, everyone washes, everyone makes the bracha of al netilas yadayim, and some people they only eat a teeny amount of the challah of bread, which can even be less than a zayis. So how are they allowed to make the bracha of al netilas yadayim? Because they're going to eat other foods during the meal, which will certainly come to the size of a beitza of 2 ounces, and that's sufficient for you to be required to make a bracha for the netila, which is accompanied by the bracha of hamotzi lechem in aretz. But if you are on some type of crazy diet where the diet requires you to eat less, or let's say exactly 1 olive's worth of bread, then you would not make, and that's all you're going to eat, nothing but that. According to the Kitzur, you do not make a bracha of al netilas yodayim. Let's eat inside. Haroitza lechol pas. If you want to eat bread, shemavarchan alof hamotzi. It must be a bread which you recite hamotzi. If it's going to be pas habobi kisnin, if you're going to make a mizonos, eating a Danish, a donut, a Danish, or pretzels, or flatbreads, anything which is called pas habobi kisnin, even though it's called pas, in Shulchan Aruch it's called pas, it's just called pas habobi kisnin. It's not called it's a pas which you make hamotzi. Tzarech litol yadav mikodim, you must wash your hands. Now, do you make a bracha? Do you make a bracha? In other words, even if it's a mashuhu of bread, you must wash. But do you make a bracha netilas yadayim? That's the next halacha. Im apas gadol kibeitza, if it's significant in size, the size of an egg, then mevorech al hanetila. But upachos mizeh, ein mevorechem al hanetila, you do not make a bracha. Okay, base. Netilas yadayim tzach lios dafkam and aklin. Now we come to the next halacha. We'll just run through some halachas and we'll come back and discuss other inyanim later. It must be done from a kli. Tzach sheyehei akli sholem b'li shum nekev v'sedek mefulash. Not everyone knows these halachas about the kli. The kli must be a halachic kli. And number one, they cannot have any crack and may not have any hole, that a hole or a crack that goes through and through. V'gam l'mala yeshaveh b'li shum charitz ablita, the surface, the rim, where the water flows over onto your hands must be smooth, without any crack or protrusion. The oisim kan kanim sheishlam kemin mar. Now, to illustrate this halachi, he gives a very good example, which brings a lot of inyanim. If you have a kankanim, if you have a container, sheyesh lohem kemin marziv, a spout, like a pitcher. On the top of the pitcher, something protrudes. Boilate begoiva l'svasakli sheyotzkin mimenu derech sham. When you pour, you take this pitcher and you go around the table and you pour lemonade to the members of your family, the liquid goes from the spout into their cups. You want to use this as your washing utensil. You can use it, but be very careful that the part that when you pour the water over your hands, the water is not going through the spout. Now the rule is, the kli has to be usable, the part of the kli where the water is going to exit must be usable in a standing position. In other words, if you put the pitcher on the table, the spout, let's say on one side, comes 1 inch above on with than the rest of the utensil. So arguments say, you have a utensil, it's the surface, the rim is perfect, and there's a spout. The spout protrudes 1 inch. When I fill up the utensil on the table, I can't fill up that spout. That spout is only used for serving. It does not hold liquid when the utensil is stationary. Being that it does not hold liquid when the utensil is stationary, that spout does not have the status of a kli. Therefore, if you take that and you fill it up with liquid and you want to now wash your hands and you want to pour over your hand from the spout, the water is coming upon your hands from a section of that utensil that does not have the halacha of a kli. And that's not valid. When you wash your hands, the water must leave a kli and go directly onto your hands. It may not go from a kli to some type of other thing and then come to your hands. The spout section of the utensil does not have the status of a kli, because when the utensil is stationary on the table, the liquid will not reach the spout. Because once the liquid comes to the top of the rim of the rest of the kli, the water overflows, goes down the side of the kli. The spout does not contain anything. The spout is nothing more than a part of the kli that's used to serve. What's used to serve does not have the halachic status of a kli. So when you wash your hands and you pour over your hands over that spout, the water is coming onto your hands from a section of the utensil that does not have the halachic status as a kli. That is not a kosher netilas yodayim. So that's what he says over here. The gam lomal yeshav kli v'oisn kakanim sheish lam kimin marzev poilet begoyval esvasa kli sheyetsim derech sham ein noilim mimenu liyodayim derech sham. Don't wash your hands through the spout. Ki sham there ein loy din kli. Why is it not called a kli? Kevan she'enoi machzik shamashkim. When the utensil is sitting on the table and you fill it up to the very, very top, there is no way that spout can serve as a place to hold, store water. Ela she'tzrich litol derech svas ha'kli mokam she'machzik mashkin. The part of the utensil which you use to wash your hands must overflow from the section of the kli where it actually holds water when the kli is in a stationary position. Okay, any question? Let's say the utensil is broken. The utensil has some type of legs, and the legs are cracked. And the only way the utensil can be supported is through a support, an artificial support. Some exotic utensil, and the way it's used is by having a base. It's a two-part utensil. There's the upper portion, the lower portion. The upper portion cannot stand, it needs the base. And that's how it's used, that's fine. You can wash your hands. But let's say, that's not the way it was made. It was made with four legs, and now one of the legs broke, and it's broken. Then, for example, if you have a cover of a pot, you have a cover of a pot which can hold a revius of mayim, can you use a cover of a pot which has a toich as a washing utensil? The answer is no, because it's not the way it's used. The way the cover of the pot is used to put on top of the pot, not meant to be used upside down. So it does not have a shame kli that you can use for washing your hands. There are many more examples. It's not a kosher utensil for washing your hands. Dalit.
Why are we getting carried away with all this criteria for the keli?
Chazal, that's the takanas.
I mean, what's in it?
I guess it comes from the kiar. Since the Torah, many of the halachas come from the kiar. The Torah was marked. The only place we have in the Torah where the Torah requires washing the hands. It's a very strange thing to wash the hands. In halacha, when a person is tameh, you wash your entire body. If you're tameh, your whole body is tameh. Washing your hand is not going to solve. It's not going
to
fine. But no, that's not why we wash our hands. The primary reason why we wash our hands is because we're tameh. If you're tameh, your whole body is tameh. You want to be metar yourself. You must immerse your entire body in the mikvah. Washing your hand is not going to remove tumah. The answer is, the Torah says there is some degree of removing tumah from the hands. The precedent is the kiyar. Every single day before the Kohanim did Avodah, they washed their hands and feet. They did not wash their entire body. The kiyar was a utensil. Therefore, Chazal took that as a source that when you wash your hands, when they made this takana, when you wash your hands, it must be through a valid utensil. Okay, Derech Agav, can you use a plastic cup? Can you use paper cups? Can you use disposable cups? Many say no. Many say it must be a permanent utensil. B'shas hadchak, when you have no choice, then you can use a disposable cup. But it's not definitely not an ideal thing to do. And taking two cups, putting them together, is not going to accomplish anything. If you have your holder, you're not going to use a disposable cup. Taking two cups or three cups and fortifying them, there's not any additional hiddur. Kiddush also is a shayla. If you can use a disposable cup. Is it basic? Is it better to use? I don't know the answer. If it's any different for kiddush, it's also machlokes apayisk. If you only use a disposable cup for kiddush, by kiddush for some reason they combine two cups together. I heard it was Zev Smith. He spoke. I don't know what he said. I don't know.
Not to be made from metal.
What
happened? No, not from metal. Anything, any material, plastic, glass. Anything that's permanent, you don't throw out. It's not chat pa'ami. It's not a one-time utensil. It's meant to last for a long period of time.
Clearly, if Natila should die, could it be used for other purposes?
Technically, yes, absolutely.
Because my father never liked the fact that it took
right,
a baby
it's for tumma.
You filled it up with hot water, the keli, and the baby. Too warm.
No, it's very clear from Shulchan Aruch that you can use the tilas yadayim for anything that you want. You don't say that it's tumme. I say, oh, because I'm using it to wash my hands, so it's associated with tumma. No, there's no such thing.
I don't think some people associate it with a Dabashal mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah.
Okay, that's true.
So
it's true.
A secular item.
Most 99% of people have a special utensil designated for the tilas yadayim. That's absolutely true. But it's very clear from the halach, all the examples that are given in the Farshah, what type of utensil. We're dealing with utensils, pots, and cups, and saucers, and all different types of things which are used for everything else. And now you want to use it for Netilas Yadayim, so it's obviously, there's no issue. L'chatchila, you can use the Kodesh that you use for Netilas Yadayim for anything that you want.
Let's say you don't have any coast, any cup whatsoever. In other words, you can't find a cup, nothing.
So we're going to discuss that. So then the next best thing is you should still wash your hands. Okay, we'll get that later on. From the spout. You don't have to be tovel. You don't eat from it. You do not need to be tovel a kodesh on the tilas yadayim. If you purchase it from a guy,
if you want to eat from it, it would have to be.
You do not need to be tovel. Right.
Correct.
It would be correct. Yes, that's right. That's right. The cup is not being matar the yadayim. The cup is not what's matar your hands. What's being matar your hands is the mayim. That's clear. Very clear. When we learn the halachas. As we go through more, you'll see. Let's run through a few more halachas. Absolutely. You can take a cooking pot as long as the rim is complete and as long as it can hold liquid in its normal state, and you can use it to wash your hands. There is a very weak heter of if you don't have a cup, so you view the sink. It's a very weak heter. The sink is a utensil. It's not a utensil, mechubal karka. So when you turn on the faucet, turning on the faucet is like taking the utensil, putting it over your hands. So you put your hand and you turn the faucet on once, close it, open it again a second time. So the spout is the utensil, and your turning of the handle is the koyach gavra, and it's considered that you've washed your hands kahalacha. That's a very big leniency. What?
Yeah, I never thought that was valid.
It's not valid. Yeah, it's not valid. But sometimes you have no choice. Sometimes it's the only thing you can do. It's better than nothing. Today it's more problem. Today you go, let's say you're in a hospital or you're in a public place and they don't have any more faucets. Everything is electronic. You put your hand under the sink and the water comes out. So that's not called koyach. Is that called koyach gavra? That you're putting your hand under a sensor which causes the water to come out? I don't know. Maybe we'll come across it. More details. But let's run through a few halachas, and then maybe in the future we'll come across more details. Kli sheni yachol, so we said over here, kli one more time, gimel. Kli sheni yachol amud ala ayde smicha, imit chlas nasikach l'shamish, boy ayde smicha yeshadim kli. Aval im loy nasik l'shamish, boy goy kach, kain kisay kli ein Lemenu, a pot cover is not valid because that's not the way the pot cover is used. It's not used to contain liquid. It's used to cover a pot, even though the cover pot of the cover of the pot can technically hold liquid. It's not valid. The yesh the kamach lugideus b'shochanoch fine dalit shir hamayim.
The reason it's not good is because the ani yochalam reidayinay smicha, because it's curved and it doesn't sit.
So a cover of a pot also cannot stand by itself.
That's what he's saying. But right. If you have a cover of a spot, let's say you have a cover on a
crock. Okay, it's not so clear. I have to go clear. It seems like it's not. It has to be. It has to be the way it's used. If I'm not mistaken, it would still not be good. If it's used like that, then fine. But if it's never used in this fashion, you're turning it upside down. That's not valid to be a kli for netilas. It must be a kli which is used in a way which contains food or liquid. If you it doesn't normally do, even though now you're improvising and you're using it in an unusual way, that is not a valid kli for netilas yadayim. Now, what is the shir hamayim? Shir hamayim kosher l'shar betzimtzum. Technically, you only need a revius of mayim, but it's not necessarily true. You need revius mayim is enough for just one washing. You're really washing your hand, as we're going to see, you're really washing your hand four times. Each hand you wash twice. And the amount of liquid you need to wash each time equals a revius. So you need a whole loaf. You need four times a revius to properly wash your hands. So he says, let's use a shir hamayim kosher l'shar betzimtzum, v'sichon lishpach al kol hayad b'shefa. L'chatchila, you should use an abundance of water to wash the entire hand, should get wet. Diyamin av Chista, where did this come from? It comes from a Gemara. Masai milai chofnei fill up milo chafnai maya. Fill up a full measure. Chafnai means a measure of water. V'havi li milai chafnai tivusa, and give me a full measure of bracha. So what Rav Chista is saying is that in reward for being gracious and how much water you use to clean your hands, Hashem will reciprocate and give you an abundance of blessing. The more water you use, the more bracha Hashem will bestow upon you. The neilim t'chili yad yamin, first you wash the right hand, v'yachach yad smol, even if you're a lefty. Even if you're a lefty, you're supposed to wash the right hand first. So you are the left hand is serving the right hand. V'yavah ha'mayim al kol hayad, the water should come on the entire hand, until the wrist. Okay, that's where the water should go. Someone once pointed this out to me, and I know he's right. I always test myself, and he's always right. 99% of people, you try this at home. Next time you wash for bread, you try this. You wash. After you finish washing, before you dry your hands, feel, here's my hand. Right, so what do? You wash here. See if this part of your hand is wet. You will notice that this part of the hand is not wet. Never gets wet. When you wash casually, you're in a rush. So you don't really wash until your wrist. And even if you wash to the wrist, 90% of the population does not wash well enough to get this part of the hand wet. Which is like it in. You have to wash your hand, you have to actually turn it while you're washing, you have an abundance of water to get all the way until the wrist, and you have to actually turn your hand to make sure that water gets on this part of the hand. If water does not get on that part of the hand, you know what the next best thing to do is? When you finish washing, after you do it once, twice, is to actually wet it. You should take your hands and you should wet it. You should make sure that every part of your hand gets wet. Yeah.
Can you use a basin to wash your hands?
Yes.
No. Dip your hands.
So he discussed that later on, no, because it has to be mikvah water. It has to ideally be
coated. Yeah. And you're not pouring water on you.
That's good kosher mikvah. That's tefillah.
So then if you go into the mikvah, can you come out and make it moitzi?
Yes, you make it. Yes, you do. Yes. If you go.
We're nayak that we wash the tefillah yadayim after you go to the mikvah.
You wash the tefillah yadayim. Well, you wash the tefillah, so you make the bracha and the tefillah.
You wash your hands after you go to the mikveh, like the tefillah
yadayim. Okay, so you're touching upon another very interesting thing. There is such a minhag. I never heard this before. I saw this yesterday in the Piskei Tshuvos. Such a minhag that there are people out there, not me, not people that I know, they're very in control of everything about themselves. they know where their hands are at all moments, at all moments in time. So when they wash Negel Vasser in the morning, they can be absolutely certain that their hands did not touch any part of their body. The absolute certain. Really, so when you now wash the Tilas Yadayim, L'chor, it's a bracha levatala. The only reason why you're washing is because my hands are dirty. My hands have touched part of the body which make them halachically tame, or tame to the degree where you're mechuyev to wash.
Or in the morning?
The whole day.
Yeah, because in the morning
At night, you don't know. At night, you're not in control. At night, you're not in control, so therefore, or even sleeping itself. We learned that once.
And now they want to eat.
Right, they wash the morning in the Negel Vasser, and they daven. And they're very disciplined, and they know exactly where their hands have been the entire davening, after that. Now they're coming to eat breakfast, and they want to wash. I can't wash. My hands are pristine. I have not. So what do you do? No, but al pi halacha you mechuyev to wash the tilas yadayim. There's no loy plech hazal. So before you eat bread, you mechuyev to wash.
So what is happening to Kain? A man who is very nizer on kachim. So he has to wash all the time.
So it's brought down here. I'll read it for you in a moment. It's brought down that there's such a minute that before you wash your hands, you touch your hair. To make it tame. You bedaf go out of your way to make your hands tame so that the bracha of al netilas should not be a chash, a bracha levatala. Wow. I have never heard this, I've never seen this, but that's what it says. Okay, let's see. It says
that you could get away with not washing your hands?
But without that, no, you can't. That's the dilemma. That's the dilemma. You can't. Chazal said under every circumstance, you must wash your hands. You must make the bracha of netilas yadayim before you eat bread. So you have to do it. But my hands are clean. How could I do it? So you have no choice but to contaminate your hands in advance in order to wash your hands in order to eat the bread. That's a chiddush.
If you come out of a bath, you take a shower of bath.
Yes. So you should touch your hair. I guess that's what it says.
You don't have to.
You should scratch your hair.
When you take a shower in a bath.
You're touching part of your body.
So even if you went into the mikveh.
Yeah.
So you're
taller. No, you come out of the mikveh. You don't touch anything. When you come out of the mikveh, you're careful. You go into the mikveh. You come out of the mikveh, you're careful not
to touch.
You're
dressed and you don't touch.
So you have to. Okay, you're right.
You wash your hands anyway. So then you could go, when you wash your hands, you can make it until you don't.
No, but there's another issue. I thought you were asking, there's another way to wash your hands. You can dip your hands in the mikveh. That's brought down later on. You make al tzilas yodayim. If you want to eat bread and you have a mikveh in your house, right? You work in the store. The filthy, dirty mikvahs. You want to poison yourself. So before you eat lunch, you work in the store, the hardware store. Oh, I'm not going to go wash. I'm going to dip my hands in the mikvah. And you make the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hamasher Kedoshanim B'mitzvos Levisodu Al Tevilas Yodayim. You dip your hands in the mikvah. You take it out. You wipe it. And then you eat. You'll poison yourself, but you will mekayim the mitzvah.
That's a new chomer. They're going to put mikvahs in the pizza shop.
You will mekayim the mitzvah. They'll never do it because it's poison. Everyone puts their hands in the same water. It's never going to happen. Okay, let's halacha down. So this is a yisod. If you're looking for schoolists, the ikar schoolists are the schoolists that it says in Shulchan Aruch. And it says in the Gemara, before you go to this exotic Mekubalim, the Ikar Skula says, when you wash the Tilas Yadayim, you should use a Shefa of Mayim, an abundance of water. Then he washed, the first comes the right, then comes the left. He doesn't say over here, according to Shulchan Aruch, this much, he washed it one time. We don't do that, we wash it two times. We'll explain the reason why we do it two times, because you want to wash off the dirty water. Because when you wash your hands, what happens? What happens when you wash your hands? My hand is tame. The water is matayah. What's the lumness of the water being matayah in my hand? It's not that. Where did the tumah go? The tumah went into the water. So the water is tummy. So now, if that water touches, let's say now I wash the other hand. So the tumah from the second hand now has gone to the water. Let's say I dry one hand. I dry one, and before I get a chance to dry the other hand, a drop of water from the hand that's still wet touches the hand that's dry. Got to start all over again. Because the water now contaminated your hand. That's the reason why we wash our hands twice. The first time you wash your hand is to extract the tumah from your hand into the water. The water now has the tumah. but not your hands, and we wash a second time to wash away that water, so that water should not contaminate me or the food at any point in time in the future. So the second washing is to get rid of the water. So we wash our hands. What?
Kabbalah does it a third time.
So why do they do it a third time? Kabbalah, what?
You also use the towel to hold the water so that the clean, the water that you're washing is on, gets on the cup. So that the water itself
should not contaminate it, because the cup,
cup. They use a towel and they do a third time.
Extremely meticulous. So why is the third time again? Why the third time?
It needs two times.
Two times to clean away the water.
Yeah.
Why do you need two times to clean away the water?
I don't know.
We have to. Okay, the minhag ha'olam is, the Mishnah Berurah says, is accepted. It's widely accepted. You wash twice. Okay. When you wash in the morning, negel vasa. So nikra, you only need to wash once. Nikra, you wash once. Once you finished. Just dry your hands very carefully. When you dry your hands, you are removing the water. If you only have a small amount of water, if you're limited, how much water you have, you just have to wash once. Once on the right, once on the left, and be very careful to dry all the water away so your hands are clean and the tumah has been disappeared because you've dried it. But the minig is to wash it a second time to right away get rid of the water. Negel vasa we do b'serugin. Right, left, that's a Kabbalah. No one knows why, that's Kabbalah, that's what's accepted, we do it like that. But washing for bread, you wash once, unless you have a certain sfaradim. Some people have their minhagim where they do the strange things, or we call strange, but for most of Ashkenazim, once, second time, and you're done. Let's see further. Dry all the way to the wrist and make sure the bottom of the hand gets wet. It's supposed you should separate the fingers. You shall raise them to make sure the water spreads throughout your entire hand. It's supposed along the tip, uverachban along the width, saviv, v'yavo hamayim, and the water shall go upon b'shvicha achas. Ideally, it should be poured in one shot. Don't try to wash this part of the hand first, and then this part of the hand. Just like when you go to mikvah, the entire body must be immersed in one shot. When you wash your hands, the entire hand should be washed in one shot. In order to remove the tumah from the hand, it needs one motion. Therefore, he gives you a halacha, this is the topic. Let's say you have a soda bottle. Let's say you're on the road, and all you have for washing the tilas time is a can, right? A can of soda, or you have a small opening, and you want to use that for the tilas yodayim. It's problematic, because when you have a small opening, there's air, and you can't get the water out in one shot, unless you pour it very slowly. Okay, they have to be very careful, but it's not ideal to use something which has a small opening.
As long as you raise it, is water the only liquid you can use to wash your hands? You mentioned the soda bottle.
Yeah, orange.
Can you other liquids? Okay, I don't know. We'll come across it. I don't know the answer.
You can use a honey, right?
Honey? What? So let's see what it says. V'nachon lishbech al kol hayad. Okay, then he goes on to say it's ideal to wash. It's ideal to wash twice. Let's do one more halacha. Okay. After you wash both hands, you shall rub them. People don't do this. You ever see people do this? Never see.
I've seen
this. Okay, you shall rub them biyachad, viyagbihon neged reishai. Now look what he says. This thing that people don't do. Look what he says. After you shall rub them. Why are you rubbing them? The reason why you're rubbing is to make sure the water goes in all parts of your hand. You want to make sure every single part of your hand gets wet, because by the getting wet, that will remove the tumah. Even though, I mean, it's a little self-defeating, because when you wash it, the only reason why we wash twice, I wash, and what happens? The tumah goes from my hand into the water. Then I wash again to get rid of the water, to get rid of the tumah. But a part of my hand did not get wet, and I rub it, so the water once again becomes tameh. So it's a little bit self-defeating, but in any event, it's better that the water should touch the entire hand. That's more of a concern, because the water touching the entire hand will remove the tumah completely. Yishafshafam b'yachad v'yagbihon k'neged rosho. Lift up your hands towards heaven, towards your head. You ever see people do this?
Yes.
You pick your hands up. You're supposed to say this. Su'u yideichem. Right. V'koidem shem minagban. Now this is very important. People make this mistake all the time. When do you make the bracha? Do you make the bracha when it's completely dry, or do you make the bracha when it's still wet? You make it when it's wet. Why? Because the bracha is always meant to be said, Oyver la'asiyasan. And in fact, ideally, when should we make the bracha? Before you wash. We don't do it because the hands are tame. But ideally, you should make the bracha. You're at the sink, you fill up a cup of water, before you do it. Ideally, you should say, Asher kidushan b'mitzvah esfadan l'tilas yodayim. So why don't you do it? Because my hands are tameh. So it's not right to make a bracha with hands that are contaminated. It's like going to the mikveh. When does a ger make the bracha? On the tefillah.
All kinds of brachas, but without washing.
So it's not ideal. Ideally, our hands should be clean. It's a hider. It's a hider that your hands should be clean before you make it. So since in this instance, you're going to anyway make your hands tahar, and therefore, certainly you should make the bracha after your hands are already tahar. But you don't want to make the bracha when the mitzvah is already complete. When will the mitzvah complete? When you dry it. Once you dry your hands, you're out of the ballpark. It's finished. The mitzvah is completely over. So it's too late to make the bracha of al netilas yadayim once your hands are already dry. Ad kedei kach, some poskim hold you can't make the bracha. We don't pass it like that. Mishmur says you can still make the bracha. But there are opinions in the Rishonim that say, that hold, that once you dry your hands completely, you can't make a bracha. It's a bracha levatala.
You know, they use this on purpose. Let's say you're at a wedding and your washing station is at the other end of the hall.
Okay.
So between your Tilas Yadayim and your Maitzi, you're walking almost 2 minutes.
Be careful.
No,
they have little pieces.
Because it is that you take your paper towel
and you walk,
you walk while your hands are still wet the whole time, so you don't make your Tilas Yadayim until you get to the bread.
What do you
then, then you drop
you have little pieces.
They put little pieces of bread by the washing station. It's not so new. It's not so new. It's not so new. It's not so new. All right.
Is that acceptable?
Yes.
I've heard you're not going to have putting that bread right in the washing station. Some say,
so you have to walk
one rough station does.
Why?
Because your suda, Malcolm suda is over there.
You have kavana. You have kavana that you're going to start here. You're going to finish there.
You can do
it. Yeah, you can do that.
Another reason is because if you're drying your hands and you want to make the maitzi, you want to have it right over there so that your not hands are dry.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. These are very interesting things. Okay, let's just finish the halacha. We're running out of time. Become welcome. Hilsi Daim Kevin Shalpamim Ein Yad Sudeh Kosher Asher Kedushan B'Mitzvah Svenu Al Tilsi Daim B'Yavah Gav Dukol Amitzvah Merchal Imol Al Asi Yasan. Become welcome. Hilsi Daim Kevin Shalpamim Ein Yad Of Nikios Kedushan. Since your hands are not clean before you wash, Lachin Tiknu B'Chol Netilas Yadayim L'Varech Achar HaNetila. But still, don't dry your hands, because once you dry your hands, then already you're out of the realm of the mitzvah. The od the gam nigov hayadayim hu min hamitzvah. Drying your hands is part of the mitzvah, so you're also getting in over lasiyas and making the bracha before you do the mitzvah. If you make the bracha before you dry your hands, umi dirt. So he explains it right now. Umi shnoyeg lishbech al kol yad shtei pamim yishbech tchila al kol yad pamachas. Also, here's what he talks about. He clarifies this issue I mentioned before. Let's say your minig is to rub your hands. So the best thing to do is to rub your hands, to wash each hand once. Umi shnoyeg lishbech al kol yad shtei pamim yishbech tchila al kol yad pamachas. Then v'yishafshafon. Then rub your hands together. V'yivarech. Then make the bracha. V'achar yishbech pam shenis al kol yad. And then you wash each hand a second time. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Don't do this." The Mishnah Berurah says, "We don't do this today. Today we don't do this. Today we wash twice in one shot." But the lamedness of why he's telling you to do this is because, what are you gaining? when you go and when you rub your hands, the purpose of rubbing your hands is to get the water all over the place. So there's no purpose of washing your hands twice. You're just wasting water, because the water is going to become tummy once again. When the water comes in contact with the part of the hand that was not wet, the water once again becomes tummy. So why did you wash the water? Why did you rinse your hands twice? The second time, the purpose of rinsing a second time is to wash away the dirty water that's tummy. But now, if I'm going to rub my hands afterwards, I'm going to make the water tummy once again. So what have I accomplished? The goal is, when you're making the bracha, you want that not only should your hands be tahar, the water should be tahar. How is the water tahar? Because I rinsed away the dirty water. But if I'm going to wash twice, and then rub my hands, I have contaminated the water. Because the part of my hand which did not come in contact with the water, and that now the water becomes tummy once again. So the water is tummy. So I wasted water by washing my hands a second time. So if you want to wash a second time to wash away the dirty water, wash each hand only once, then rub your hands, and that way the water has touched every part of your hand and has extracted every mashu of tuma. Now you should make your hands are tahar. You have the ideal that I'm now clean hands. I have dirty water, but I have clean hands. Now make the bracha asher kedushan b'mitzvot v'sulanu al netilas yodayim. You're doing it in the ideal way. And then wash your hands a second time to wash away the dirty water. And then you'll dry your hands.
The second time you're going to be touching the keli.
So then, the second, that's why he said something. You need to be very careful with a towel. Exactly. So there are different degrees of how far you have to go, how far you go in these matters.
So it makes it easy. The first time you do, the second time washes away the tumah, and then the third time just make sure you get all the spots that you might have missed, because it's wet already. It's like when you do a mikveh, you put your hand in first so that it's easy when you hold the keli.
Yeah, your hands are wet. Okay. Do not dry your hands on your garment, because a Kabbalah, whatever we know what this means, Kabbalah, it causes you to forget your learning. Okay, there's a lot more. We'll meet Hashem, pick this up tomorrow.